Wise.
I've found it. I've discovered the original document framing the Tea Party's political creed. Tea-infused Republicans are the anti-party, anti-science, anti-public, anti-worker, anti-environment, anti-Obama, anti-anti-anti. Where does all this bombastic negativity come from? It turns out that their sour philosophy is rooted in horse feathers. It's a 1932 Marx Brothers musical comedy that features Groucho belting out a song with these lyrics. Your proposition may be good, but let's have one thing understood. Whatever it is, I'm against it. And even when you've changed it or condensed it, I'm against it. So it's no surprise that the GOP's Senate leaders and presidential seekers have taken a peremptory, we're again it, head in the sand stand against anyone President Obama would nominate to fill the current Supreme Court vacancy. We won't let logic, fairness, or our duty to the Constitution reverse our petulant, purely partisan, knee-jerk no, they vaingloriously proclaim. Maybe if he nominates a corporation to sit on the court, they'd change their tune. But otherwise, no. Actually, their recalcitrance is no surprise, for the right wing has been an obstructionist group throughout our history. Indeed, there wouldn't even be a USA if the reactionaries of the 1770s had won the day. Their Tory faction adamantly opposed Jefferson, Adams, Washington, and other, quote, radicals who broke from the British monarchy to forge our independent nation. And they've fought every progressive advance since: abolition of slavery, extend the vote to women, protecting the rights of labor, civil rights, Social Security and Medicare, women's rights, gay marriage, etc., etc. This is Jim Hightower saying, so the Grouchos of today are just singing the same old reactionary song, still trying to shove America back into a monarchy of the rich.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Tim Kemper of Stanford Mortgage. Whether it's for a first-time home loan or to refinance for college, remodel, or the vacation of your life, Tim can help make your dreams come true. Tim can be reached at 530-571-7723 and on Facebook at Tim Kemper Mortgage Advisory, MLO number 971-542, a equal opportunity lender. This is KZFR 90.1, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights and veganism every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. here on KZFR 90.1 FM or online at kzfr.org. You can also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Jeannie Trezino.
And I'm Robert Jones.
Tonight on Non-Human Radio, the NRA pushes through Congress a bill that would lead to the aerial gunning of grizzly bears on national wildlife refuges in Alaska.
We'll also get Jeannie's vegan-friendly food pick of the week and update your animal rights events calendar. But first, it's time for the latest animal rights and vegan news. Over to you, Jeannie, in the KZFR Vegan Newsroom.
Here I am. Okay, great. My first news piece is a 45-year-old vegan in India has broken a Guinness World Record by performing 82 knuckle push-ups in 1 minute. KJ Joseph, who hails from southern India, completed the Extreme Fitness Challenge last month and bested the efforts of 2015 record holder Ron Cooper of New York, who did 79 push-ups in 1 minute.
Jeannie, he did 82 knuckle push-ups?
I can't even imagine.
What's a 82 knuckle push-ups in 1 minute?
It's harder than a regular push-up.
Harder than a regular push-up.
Yeah, because you're on your first knuckle of your fingers.
Okay. He's a vegan, too. That's amazing.
Officials of Guinness World Records are in the process of validating the achievement, but Joseph holds several other accomplishments, including being entered into the Universal Record Forum for doing 2,092 push-ups in 1 hour. Oh, my God. And for breaking iron bars with his bare hands, all without the need for animal protein.
So what's the take-home message? What's the moral of that story?
You don't need animal protein to have endurance and strength.
That's true. So the guy, he breaks iron bars with his bare hands, and he doesn't eat meat. That is amazing. Okay. Thanks, Jeannie. What else we got on the news front?
Our next piece is a rather aggravating piece of legislation. The U.S. House of Representatives, with the full support and backing of the National Rifle Association, has passed H.R. 2406, known as the Sportsman's Heritage and Recreational Enhancement Act, or SHARE Act.
The SHARE Act. What that sounds like such a wonderful, kind of beneficent name, the SHARE Act. What are they sharing, I wonder?
Well, according to Chris Cox, executive director of the NRA's Institute for Legislative Action, and NRA is the National Rifle Association, this act provides enhanced access to public lands while limiting punitive regulations promoted by, quote, animal rights extremists.
Can you read that again? What does the act do according to the NRA? It does what?
It provides enhanced access to public lands.
Enhanced access to public lands.
Right, for
yeah,
for some for people, hunting. For hunters. And it then limits the punitive regulations, so any punishments that have been... They're not even punishments, for the limitations that have been enacted by what they label as animal rights extremists. But
Jeannie, I think you're one of those animal rights extremists.
I'm just a person who loves our environment and okay. Who loves animals too.
All right. I won't paint you with that label. I'll wear it proudly though. In fact, tonight I'm wearing my shirt. It says animal rights extremist right on the front of it.
It's an amazing shirt.
It is. Thanks.
Cox argues that if the SHARE Act becomes law, there will be, quote, more resources available for public ranges, more hunter access to public lands, and more opportunities for Americans to enjoy the great outdoors.
Jeannie, this is the NRA's version of this SHARE Act. Is there another side to this?
Evidently, the only way you can enjoy the outdoors is with a gun.
Well, he said Americans to enjoy the great outdoors. So I guess the bill doesn't cover if you're a non-American, you can't enjoy. I don't understand this. But let's hear if there's another side to this story.
Though advocates of the SHARE Act, such as our own Doug LaMalfa, are selling the bill as an aid to traditional hunting and conservation, in reality, it will do almost nothing for rank-and-file hunters. Instead, the bill will act as an entitlement program aiding trophy hunters, ivory carvers, commercial trappers, ammunition manufacturers, and other special interests.
So our good representative there in Congress, Doug LaMalfa, he is supporting this SHARE Act, H.R. 2406.
He voted for it, yes.
So if we wanted to contact Doug LaMalfa's office and express our displeasure with this, we can do that online. Is that true?
Yes, you can submit. If you go to Doug LaMalfa's website, you can submit a comment. He's also available. You can comment on his Facebook profile, too.
I wouldn't be upset if all of our listeners did that, I have to say. I wouldn't be too upset about
it. I think it would be good for him to understand that not all his constituents are hunters.
It's true.
That there's a significant number of individuals in all our cities that are not hunters.
Right.
Anyway, moving on. According to Wayne Pacelli, who's the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States, the SHARE Act strips wolves of their federal protections in 4 states, subjects hundreds of wolves to hostile state practices such as baiting, hound hunting, and painful the steel jaw leg hole traps. It will also allow the aerial gunning and baiting of grizzly bears on national wildlife refuges in Alaska. And the bill also blocks the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service from enacting its proposed rule curbing the ivory trade, which would help, of course, combat the current elephant poaching crisis over there.
Jeannie, can I clarify something? Either my ears are clogged or I heard you correctly and I'm in disbelief. So this bill will allow aerial gunning. Aerial gunning is a euphemism for shooting a grizzly bear from a helicopter.
Yes, they take off the door of the helicopter.
Take off the door.
And the hunters...
Hunters have a high-powered rifle.
Yes.
And they fly, and then they shoot grizzly bears.
Yes, and interestingly, that's also the same way that photographers get great shots of environment, of landscapes.
Oh, okay. So they use cameras and guns. I see. So, but this SHARE Act, it would allow hunting of grizzly bears from airplanes and from helicopters. And then I thought I also heard you say that it will stop the enactment of a rule that will curb the ivory trade. Can you say a little bit about what the ivory trade is? What is ivory? People probably think about ivory as being piano keys, but can we?
Sure. Ivory is the tusks from elephants, both Asian and African elephants. And
the tusks.
And it's highly valuable at this point. There is a market for it in China primarily. And that has fueled the decimation of African elephant populations in particular.
They have to kill the elephants to get the ivory.
Yes, they poison them or they shoot them and they chainsaw out the tusks from the faces of these elephants.
That sounds very gruesome.
It leaves a lot of baby elephants orphaned. So there's actually some sanctuaries in Africa that specialize in nurturing orphan baby elephants because they're such a social species that
Beautiful.
When they lose their moms and their dads, it really impairs them. So the sanctuary for these orphaned elephants,
yeah.
They actually pair them up with a human caregiver who sleeps with the elephant, so the elephant's never alone. It's
really
amazing.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, it's a good example of interspecies bonding.
And this bill that we're talking about, H.R. 2406, who's supported by Doug LaMalfa, is actually going to make it easier for the ivory trade to flourish, and thus elephant poaching will be made worse. Is that correct?
That's correct. I'm just going to override. What I'm also interested in is the way that this act expands the definition of hunting to include leghold traps, which is generally associated with the fur trade. It's not a hunting,
right.
Sportsman-like activity. So it's just insidious, these elements that are incorporated into this act to benefit a small group.
Right. It's interesting. Last week we had rancher entitlements. Now we have hunter entitlements.
Yeah, yeah. The people who benefit from the provisions of this act are America's most extreme and ruthless hunters.
I'm sure that Justice Scalia is spinning in his grave because he was against entitlements.
Exactly. And where did he pass away? At an exclusive hunting lodge.
Oh, that's terrible, Jeannie. I was just getting over that. Now you brought it up again.
So these hunters are to hunting what Cliven and Amon Bundy are to ranching, as you just mentioned. Essentially, they're zealots who want to operate with no rules and who act as if they, these hunters, and not the general American taxpayer, owned our public lands.
Mm-hmm.
That's what our refuges are. That's what Bureau of Land Management lands are. And I saw that a provision in the act wanted to extend hunting onto Army Corps of Engineers properties, their lands that
yes.
we reserve
Expanding
for flood
hunting.
Control. The bill also contains troubling provisions that relate to the use of toxic lead ammunition, while non-toxic ammunition is available to all hunters. So hunters have the choice to use lead or non-lead ammunition. A provision of the bill would also roll back the Marine Mammal Protection Act and provide a sweetheart deal to help 41 wealthy polar bear trophy hunters import the heads of rare polar bears that they shot in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
The bill encourages trophy hunters to kill rare species around the world and then wait for a congressional waiver that they lobby for to bring back their trophies. The only good news is that the SHARE Act is so full of insanely far-reaching provisions that it almost certainly cannot pass the Senate or win a signature from the president in its current form.
So part of the good news is that this act is just, it's so far out there that it probably won't be signed by the president, President Obama. And I was just handed this message from Sue Hildebrand. She came into the KZFR Vegan Newsroom and handed me this phone number. For those of you who are interested in contacting Representative Doug LaMalfa, you can call his office at area code 530-534-7100. That's 534-7100 and express your displeasure at the SHARE Act, H.R. 2406, which was going to be sent to Senate, I guess, I don't know, sometime before the end of the session.
Yes.
So, Jeannie, yeah, this is another interesting story. We're getting these stories. What we're discovering, it seems, is that part of our taxpayer dollars, with last week with Clive and Bundy, and this week is we're noticing that so-called free market libertarian type folk, they actually, when they get a handout from our tax dollars to promote hunting and ranching, then that's okay. Am I overreaching here? Am I reading this correctly?
No, you're reading it correctly. And I think the other thing we're discovering is that there is no shortage of these types of stories.
Sadly. Well, thanks, Jeannie. Thanks for that good news. In case you just tuned in, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM Chico and worldwide at kzfr.org. Well, let's pick things up, Jeannie. It's time for the Jeannie's Vegan Friendly Food Pick of the Week. Over to you, Jeannie, in the KZFR Vegan Restaurant Review Newsroom.
All right. This week, I don't have a restaurant pick. My vegan-friendly food pick this week is the H.A. Indian Grocery, which is the first Indian market in Chico. Though it's really small right now, they have a great assortment of frozen vegan goodies like samosas and pakoras. And they have many types of beans and lentils, and they have a great selection of Indian herbs, spices, and snacks. They also carry some produce, like those little tiny Indian chilies and cilantro and some other greens, just to help make your Indian cooking more authentic.
So, Jeannie, have you gotten any recipe inspiration from visiting H.A. Indian Grocery?
Last week, for the Chico Vegan Potluck, which we had on Saturday, I bought a prepared mix to make an Indian snack called dokla.
Dokla. What's dokla? Dokla, I don't know that.
Dokla is, I didn't know what it was either, but I took a chance because I wanted to try one of the famous popular steam snack and breakfast type things that are common in Indian cuisine. So dokla is a tangy, savory Indian breakfast cake. And it's made from a mix of rice and lentil flour. And then I add in some yogurt, some homemade vegan soy yogurt. And then you mix it up and steam it. I'll post the recipe on the show's website if people want to give that a try.
Wow. That sounds really good. So you serve this. This was your contribution to the potluck. And I'm wondering, what was the reaction? Did people like it? What was your? How did people respond?
Well, there were no leftovers. Some people liked it. Some didn't, but I like it. I happen to like it a lot. That was the second time I had made that. It's not like I just experimented on the potluck goers with the dokla recipe.
Right, right. So you try. And how do you spell dokla?
Dokla is D-H-O-K-L-A, and I make no claims to have the pronunciation proper.
Cool. So that sounds like it was a nice. I see. So when you make your when you prepare your dishes for the potluck, you make sure you try them out at home first, so they don't. You hone it to perfection and then you send it.
In general, I do, or I just will use a recipe from a cookbook author who I really like,
and
who
that?
I trust. Issa Shonda Mroskowitz.
Nice.
She's
great.
The PPK Post Punk Kitchen, which is all vegan cookery. It's excellent.
Nice. So where is this new H.A. Indian Grocery?
H.A. Indian Grocery is located at 641 Nord Avenue. It's where the old boards on Nord Shop used to be, on Nord Avenue, just south of West Sacramento. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 10, so you can go in the late evening and get an Indian snack fix.
Sounds good.
And you can also go to the Chico Vegan Grocery page at chicovegan.com for more info on Chico's vegan grocery shopping options. I keep that list updated. Your options definitely include more than just the health food store. And I'll post a link to the show notes for that site.
Well, thanks, Jeannie. Did you want to say something?
No, I was going to throw it back to you in the Non-Human Radio headquarters.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm here in Headquarters Central. In case you just tuned in here, you're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, Chico, and worldwide at kzfr.org. Well, it's time for the Non-Human Radio weekly calendar of events. Some folks have written in and said this is their favorite part of the show, the weekly calendar of events. So anyway, I'm going to throw it back to you, Jeannie, over in the KZFR Vegan Calendar Events newsroom.
Okay, here I am. There are a lot of events coming up, so I'm just going to power through it. And remember, all the info on the upcoming events, as well as the other items I mentioned throughout the show, will be posted on our show notes at our website, nonhumanradio.com.
Nonhumanradio.com. And Jeannie, if people want to email us, because we've been getting a ton of emails in the past 2 weeks, what's the email address to reach Nonhuman Radio?
nonhumanradio@gmail.com.
Very cool. So they can go to nonhumanradio.com. Or they can email us directly. I'm sure they can email us from the nonhumanradio.com page. But if they can't do that, they can email directly.
Yep. Yes. And also they can contact us through the Facebook page.
And Twitter. Okay. We're connected. We're plugged in. Thanks to Jeannie.
We try. So are we ready?
Let's go. Let it rip.
Okay. On March 5th, the Vegans of Davis Group are holding their second annual Davis Pig Day Peaceful Protest. Davis Pig Day, for those of you who don't know, is a popular and bizarre celebration of eating pigs. So come on down for some peaceful activism. They'll have signs ready for us to use, and the event is labeled as kid-friendly.
So, Jeannie, can we I got to figure this out. You know, we talked a little bit about this last week, and it's been a week, and I still can't wrap my mind around it. So let me get this straight. So there's an event called Pig Day. And this takes place in Davis.
At their farmer's market.
So the Davis Farmer's Market, it has an event called Pig Day. And it's a, quote, celebration of eating pigs. But let me get this straight. So there are live pigs there.
Yes.
So there's live and dead. There's both live, living and dead pigs.
Yes, you can see them in both states.
So you bring your kids down, say, and then your kids pet the pigs there in the pen there, and then they walk over and they eat like a bacon and tomato, lettuce and tomato sandwich or something?
Pretty much, or something sprinkled with bacon, you know, ice cream sprinkled with bacon or something. I don't know.
Is this the meet, greet, and eat event we were
talking
about?
I was just going to say that, yes. That's the way, that's a good thumbnail summary. It's meet, greet, and eat.
Meet, greet,
something
and eat.
Something like that.
Well, I think the Davis Pig Day folks, they might actually take that slogan. So we need to copyright it. So this event on March the 5th is actually, it's the Pig Day peaceful protest. So if folks show up, they don't have to bring any, they just show up, bring warm bodies, adults, kids, and signs and everything will be provided as a protest against this event.
Yes, and they've done their PR work, so there will likely be some media coverage.
Nice.
And bring awareness to Davis about this incongruity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Good. Thanks. What else do we have on the calendar?
Starting in March, locally, the Cooking for Compassion and Health series, which is a project from the Chico chapter of Dharma Voices for Animals. These are vegan cooking classes that are very beginner-friendly. They're scheduled one a month. Admission is a small fee for materials, and their first class is on Saturday, March 9th. Saturday, March 19th. They'll be making vegan Sri Lankan food, and classes are held at the Sky Creek Dharma Center in North Chico.
That sounds really interesting. Are you going to that?
No, I'm going to something else.
Well, what are you going to, Jeannie?
I'm going to be going to the 5th Annual Conscious Eating Conference in Berkeley.
When is that?
Saturday, March 19th, all day.
Saturday, March 19th, the 5th Annual Conscious Eating Conference in Berkeley, California?
Yep.
I better put that on my calendar.
I bet you will. If you're going to be in the Bay Area, definitely come check this event out. They have a nice roster of speakers. In fact, Robert Jones, our very own non-human radio co-host, will be presenting. What are you going to be talking about?
Well, Jeannie, at that conference on March 19th down in Berkeley, the 5th Annual Conscious Eating Conference, I'm giving a talk called How Not to Be Vegan.
How not to be vegan?
Yeah, the talk is called How Not to Be Vegan.
And do you have any, like, highlights?
Well, okay, I'm going to spill the beans. It's just between you and I, okay? I don't want it to go any further than this room. But actually, it's kind of a provocative title, but really, it sounds as if I'm going to be arguing that people should not be vegan, how not to be vegan. But actually, what I'm going to be arguing, I'm going to talk about different ways that people conceive of being vegan, right? So people think of veganism in different ways. Let me give you an example. When I first became vegan many years ago, when I was just a young Turk, I was thinking I knew everything about the world. All I had to do was stop using animal products and everything was fine. And I kind of had this, me personally now, I'm just speaking for myself, I sort of acquired this kind of like air of moral superiority where I thought, you know, I am now a level 5 vegan. I don't eat any animal products, nothing at all. I don't wear animal products, and I'm doing everything I could do to decrease suffering in the world. And then I kind of felt like, and people who don't do this, then they're just not as good as people, you know, they're not being as good as they can be. And so that kind of a vegan, the kind of vegan that I was when I first started, I eventually started to change, but I've met people who have those kind of similar views over the years. And I think that that is not good for the cause, because sometimes vegans, like I used to be, can rub people the wrong way and sort of be perceived as self-righteous or kind of preachy and this kind of stuff. So I am going to argue for a particular kind of veganism that is different from your standard veganism. And people might be thinking, well, there's different kinds of veganisms. But I'm going to argue that there's at least 3 different kinds of veganisms, and I'm going to argue for a particular one. And the details of that we can talk about maybe next week on the show for people who can't make it.
I'd love to. I think that is something that is needed. I think that anything that can help temper the unbelievable enthusiasm of new vegans when they start learning about what happens in factory farms and disengaging from that, it's very easy to fall into a preachy, self-righteous kind of state. And the sooner that we can get people understanding a bigger picture of that enthusiasm and that passion, the better.
Yeah, good.
So
what else is on the calendar?
The last item on the calendar is March 21st, and lasting for 3 days, Animal Place of Nevada County is going to be holding their Brave the Cage event at Chico State. This is where they bring in a human-sized battery cage for hens to college campuses so that people can experience firsthand what it's like to live as a battery chicken for egg production.
Jeannie, what exactly is a battery cage? And second, have you ever been in the human battery cage? Have you experienced it?
First, the battery cage is a method of intensive egg production that is used for 95% of egg production in the United States. It's a system where 5 to 6 hens are crammed into a small cage without room to flex their wings or to walk around. Mm-hmm. And they are put into these cages when they're fairly young, and then they don't grow very big, but they grow bigger, which reduces the amount of space between each hen.
And so these battery cages, these are the cages that egg-laying hens are kept in?
Correct.
And they're pretty cramped. So my understanding is they're about the size of a piece of loose leaf paper. That's about the area they have to stand for each chicken.
Correct. So you put 6 pieces of 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper together, and you end up, and you cram in 6 hens in there, and that's the way they live for about 2 years.
Wow.
And they're all wire, and they lay their eggs, not even in a nest or anything. The cages are also slanted. The floors of the cages are slanted, so the eggs roll out into a collection.
Terrible. So what is this? So have you braved the cage?
I have not. I'm going to be assisting there, so folks want to come and meet one of the co-hosts of Non-Human Radio.
Nice.
I encourage you all to come out. It's going to be March 21st through 23rd from 10:30 to 1:30 at Chico State.
Okay, well, Jeannie, thank you. That was great. It looks like we're just about out of time for this week's show, but not before our animal rights thought of the week, our subversive thought of the week. Jeannie, what would that be?
Our animal rights subversive thought of the week comes from animal rights philosopher Peter Singer, who wrote, "If we can prevent something bad without sacrificing anything of comparable significance, we ought to do it."
Great. Well, where are we here? Oh, Non-Human Radio was made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by the Chico News and Review, providing Northern California with news, commentary, and entertainment. The Chico News and Review is available for free every Thursday at over 600 locations throughout Butte, Glenn, and Tehama counties. They can also be found online at newsreview.com.
This has been Non-Human Radio, a production of KZFR 90.1 FM Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are entirely those of the hosts and do not in any way reflect the opinions of KZFR, its board, or its staff. If you missed any portion of this show, or you just want to listen again, or have your friends and family listen, visit us online at nonhumanradio.com. And be sure to stay tuned for The Real Issue with Sue Hildebrand coming up next. Until next week, be different, be better, be kind.
And go vegan!